Hey everybody, stay tuned where Brian and I will be talking about identity management and how that can help on your governance journey. Welcome to the Azure Enablement Show, where we're having technical conversations with Microsoft experts about some of the obstacles or questions you might face on your cloud adoption journey. Now, in an earlier episode of the show, we started to talk about governance and the five different pillars that you have. Now, today we're talking about the identity pillar, and to help me on that conversation journey is Brian. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me again.
It's nice seeing you. So I often hear people talk about if you have a good identity management scheme or a good identity posture, it's a great line of defense for your organization. Is that fair to say?
Oh, I'd wholeheartedly agree with that. In the traditional world of data centers, we had walls that gave us that sense of protection and boundary. When we look to the cloud, those walls aren't there. So we have to put up new boundaries, new protections to keep things safe inside of those. And identity is one of those frontline boundaries that really help establish a safe perimeter around everything that you host in the cloud. So getting that right is really important.
Awesome. So how do people actually start to govern their identity strategy and start to plan it out?
Well, it all depends on where you start from. So if you're already a customer, a Microsoft customer that's invested in Office 365, you've probably already got identity integration into what's called Azure Active Directory. That brings all your users over from Active Directory. If you don't, then you have to do a little bit of work to get that synchronization going from your identity provider to Active Directory. But once you're there and Azure Active Directory is in place, you've got the foundation for an identity baseline. Now, you still have more work to do. There's a couple of things that you'll have to put in place to avoid some common pitfalls. But that's a great start. It's just getting Azure Active Directory in place.
Okay, so once you've got Azure Active Directory in place, what are those next steps that they need to think about?
Well, that really depends on what you're doing in the cloud, how high risk your exposure is, how comfortable you are in your risk tolerances, the way you manage identities. So in the governance world, we don't make all those decisions. We make all those decisions consistent. So the focus with the Cloud Adoption Framework's govern methodology is to focus on taking those identity rules that are set in place and using things like Azure Blueprint or Azure Policy to consistently deploy identity requirements across everything you do so that you don't have any kind of unexpected surprises with your identity profile or your identity plan.
Okay, so you talk to lots of customers, Brian. I know this from previous conversations with you, and you must see some common mistakes or pitfalls that our customers fall into. Is there any stories you could tell us to help our audience avoid those pitfalls themselves?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to identity, the most common mistakes are really more accidental human errors, more than anything else. So when we think about identity governance, it's all about putting policies in place that put up guardrails that prevent accidental human errors. So one of my favorite ones is that I've got a good friend in the Fortune 500 who's a CISO, and I can't share his name because I want to keep him as a good friend. But he followed suit with a common pattern I see. So Microsoft has a lot of hands-on labs to teach you things. In those hands-on labs, we're not focused on security. We're focused on how do you use this tool. So there's some behaviors inside of those, like using a username and password where it's admin and the password is password, and having a VM that's exposed to the outside world. Well, the CISO friend of mine went through a hands-on lab, and fast forward a little bit, that hands-on lab became a production instance of something that ended up going out into the real world. And everyone forgot that 6 months ago, this was a very insecure hands-on lab. So when they went to push it out to production, out went a VM that had admin and password as the admin credentials on that VM. And you wouldn't think a CISO would make that mistake, but if they can, we can too. It's commonplace stuff that we're not infallible and we forget things. So putting in policies in place that protect against those type of common human errors make you a whole lot safer and allow governance and identity to work together so that developers don't have to remember every step they've taken. They just have to remember what steps are important to protect their identities.
Okay, so how do we implement those policies? Is there tools that can help us do that? Or is it just a case of making sure you have the message written on a whiteboard in your office so that people remember to do those policies?
So I think there's a little bit of each there. So writing things on a whiteboard helps for a while, but eventually you stop looking at the whiteboard and you put a picture over the top of it and it's gone. If we look at the overall cloud adoption framework governed methodology, there's a few steps that can help you get there. So across the top, corporate policy is the most important part. Understanding those business risks, understanding what you're doing in the cloud. Are you building a lot of new things? Are you just migrating over what you already have? Are you putting out high-risk data, sensitive data, you know, mission-critical applications? Those all change your risk profile, and they're going to change the type of policies that you write to govern the cloud. Once you get those defined, it's really easy to take those identity-related policies and say, we're going to turn those into Azure policies, which Azure policy then automates that corporate policy for you and makes it to where you can erase the whiteboard. And you don't have to worry about remembering because you're now automating that protection, or at minimum, auditing for violations. So those are how we get there. Start with making the right decisions and the right guardrails, and then follow through by automating those guardrails.
Okay, cool. I like to see things visually, Brian. Is there any demos that you might have up your sleeve that you could show us about how to do this today?
Yeah, gladly. And before we jump into the demo, let me just share the tools we're going to show off. So when we're talking about identity baseline, the key tools here are things like Azure Blueprints. Of course, you're using policy features of Blueprints. You're also using role-based access control, or RBAC, and all the different versions of Azure AD, and whether that's directory federation or directory replication to get those identities synchronized. So those are the basic tools. So let's show off a few of those in a demo here. So if we want to get started with overall identity-focused policies, the best place to start, I believe, is oftentimes in the policy definitions. So I'm going to go into Azure and go into policies. And then once we're inside of the Azure policy tool, there's an authoring section around definitions. So these definitions are where you'll see all the policies you create or built-in policies that you might want to pull in for your environments. So on here, I'm just going to change this to built-in definitions so we can see what's already there that you can get for free. And excuse me, one of the most common things we see customers struggle with is the elevated permissions and having privileges that cause problems. And those often come from some sort of administrator access. So let's just do a search and see what we can do with admins. So in the policies that are already there today, we can plug in things that say, let's audit Windows machines that are missing specific members in the admin group. So this helps us establish that we've got the right administrative controls should something come up, we need to change it. But then on the other end, let's see, there are some on here about specific members, and there's others on here, there we go. Audit Windows machines that have extra accounts in the administrator group. This is often one of the most common areas where identity goes astray is someone has to do a temporary elevated privilege on a machine. They put someone in the admin group and they forget about it. Now you've got one more hole that you have to plug in case that person's identity is compromised in some way. So first we want to avoid that approach, and we want to know if there's any extra accounts in admin groups, even in early stage development. But we really want to limit and stop that in anything production related. So these are two built-in policies that you have right away. There's also other things on here that we can search for. Let's look at some password settings. So let's audit machines with insecure password security settings, or audit machines with passwords of a certain age to implement certain reset policies, or restrict that they have salad passwords that have a certain password length. So these are all things that you get for free, that you can just pick up an Azure policy and say that you want to apply to any environment. Likewise, you can do the same thing by including these into a blueprint, which we'll show in just a second here. Now, over time, you're going to want to build your own. So if we look at all of the Azure policies, one that we commonly use when we're doing things in Linux is we want to audit SSH authentications. So it's another policy that we built that goes into the actual machine configuration and audits those SSH auths so that we can see who's logging in. So you can automate a number of things, but it all depends on what policies you want to enforce in an environment based on your corporate policies.
Okay, that makes great sense, Brian, because I was somebody that often put in people into the admin group and then forgot to take them out once they'd completed the task. So yeah, having those kind of audit policies when I was around would have been quite helpful.
Totally. I wish we had those in the on-prem world before the cloud came and we could just help prevent some of these silly mistakes. It'd make us all a lot more secure.
Absolutely. You mentioned you wanted to show the blueprints as well. Could you?
Yeah, that right. So we can add policies to an environment, but if you're using things like the deployment acceleration discipline of cloud governance, which I believe we'll cover in a future video, in that mindset, you're really looking at applying repeatable infrastructure as code techniques using things like Azure Blueprint. So if you're using the Cloud Adoption Framework's Foundation Blueprint, you get a lot of things already with it. But what you can do is go in and add other artifacts like the policies we've just talked about. And you can add those same exact policy assignments that are all built in and add them to a packaged blueprint the same way you would any other policy. And then once you apply that blueprint to an environment, all of those different policy assignments come together and are applied in that environment. But you can also do other things as well. Let's see here. We could add different artifacts around a role assignment. And from here, we can choose specific roles that we want to give assignments to inside of that environment. And what this does is allows us to have centralized control over what access is allowed and what isn't. And if we stick to standardized roles like owner, or contributor, or reader, or other roles that you define consistently in your environment, now you can make sure that those role assignments happen inside of the blueprint and get applied to that entire environment. So it's less likely that someone's going to come in and say, I need this custom role or this custom access. And when they do, you'll understand what rights they have automatically in every environment consistently, and you'll understand where to make those deviations. So by doing simple things like adding a role, you now have set a basic identity baseline strategy for that blueprint and for every subscription that it's applied to.
Awesome. That sounds really good, Brian. Thank you so much for your time today and taking me through the identity management kind of journey that organizations have to kind of think about as well. So I really do appreciate your time. Now, Brian mentioned a lot of resources, and we're going to pop the links in the description box below. So make sure you check that out for further information. And remember to tune in for future episodes of the Azure Enablement Show as well.